program sponsored by Bible Baptist Church. If you'd like to visit us, you're certainly invited. We've got a small church located over in the Springwood section, up from McAddenville. If you're coming down 85 and like to need the directions, go to exit 23 and between Charlotte and Gastonia and McAdenville exit. Go up the ramp, turn toward McAdenville. Within less than a mile, you'll come to the main part of town. The route has a Y in it. Bear to the left, cross the river bridge, go straight up the hill, and you'll see a street to the right called Kirkley Street. Go to the end of the pavement on that dirt street. Then you'll turn right, and you'll see our sign, Bible Baptist Church. Well, a little small sign, and looking small church looking for some families interested in building. A King James Bible believing, Jesus Christ exalting, devil hating, sinner loving, sin hating, fundamental, separated, pre-tribulational, pre-millennial, gun toting, chicken eating, independent Baptist church that's looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning. I'm really going to preach. I just want to, folks, I know today, this day and time, they get so involved in the world and anything, they lose the assurance of their salvation. And if you can, turn to 1 John 5:13, and I want to talk to you a little bit about assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation. 1 John 5:13. Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know," mark that, "you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." I remember when I got saved, I had been under conviction. They had a revival out there at Sunset Forest Baptist Church, and I was about 10 years old. And I got under conviction because a man was preaching on hell. I don't know how much hell preaching is going on over there today, but I hope that man still preaching the book, and I hope that he's still preaching that there is a literal hell that people's going to. Anyway, I heard that message, several messages like that, and I got under conviction, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with me about it. I need to be saved. I could die any time and go to that hell, that burning hell that he man was talking about. So it took me about 3 or 4 weeks because I was real shy, and I finally decided that I keep telling the Lord that at each invitation, I said, I'll go next service when maybe there's not so many people there. And so I kept putting it off, and after about 3 weeks, I couldn't stand it any longer. I had to go down and get saved. You know, that's the reason you ought to make your kid. You ought to take your kids to church. Not just send them. You ought to take them to church and have them. Because if you don't take them, then they're not going to see that there's a need to go. If you're just making them go, if you just send them on the bus or something, that's not doing you any good. Not doing them any good. They might get saved, and then again, they might not, because they're looking to you, mostly. But anyway, I got saved, you know, and then after I got up in the teenage years, I got backslid on the Lord because I thought, you know, the world had something to offer, and it didn't. And I was 30 years old before I got back right with the Lord. But then I started going to, I went back to the same church there, and I didn't learn a whole lot at that time. It could have been my fault, but I mean, you got to get in the Bible, not a quarterly. You got to get in the Bible. You understand? The King James Bible, if you want to grow. The Bible says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." So you got to get in this book if you want to grow as a Christian. I mean, these thousands, millions of Christians out there today that's just like a little baby, 2 or 3 years old, you know, 4 years old, as far as what they know and what as far as is our growth in the Lord. But anyway, I left there and started and looking for a church, and I ran into a little independent Baptist church. And I'm just going to tell you this because the confusion going on in Christianity today. I went to that little church, you know, and the preacher got up there preaching, and he started preaching, you know, bless God, if you don't do this or that, if you ever did this or that, you know, before in your life, and you probably never was saved to begin with. You need to get down here to this old-fashioned altar and get saved. Well, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of things, you know, during that time that I was backslid on the Lord. And, of course, you know, all these charismatics and bunch, they think you lost it. Well, I knew I was saved. I knew I was saved. And he kept on talking like that, and it got me kind of doubting, you know, whether I was saved or not. Well, so I went down, I went down and prayed and asked the Lord to show me whether I was saved back then or whether I needed to get saved right then. And I got peace through the Word that... I was reading, he was going through Romans 10:9-13. I got peace through the Word that I was saved back then. Salvation's simple. I mean, it's not hard that you don't have to repent of every little sin you ever... You got to see yourself a lost sinner. I mean, anybody can see that they're a lost sinner. And most everybody knows that Jesus Christ died for their sins on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, and you got to receive that for yourself. As many receive Him, Jesus Christ, and then gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So salvation is not hard. It's simple. The ones that makes it hard is some of these preachers around here. I know one preacher he's on another radio station, and I've heard him I don't know how many years. And that rascal get everybody in the world lost. And I hadn't heard him one time tell anybody how to get saved. It's always telling people how to get lost. Something wrong with that. There's a name for it. It's called hyper-Calvinism, but I ain't going to go into all that right now. But anyway, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about assurance of salvation. The first thing I want to say about assurance of salvation is the importance of it. And it is, there's no joy without assurance. If you're not sure you're saved, how can you have joy? Bible says in 1 John 1:4, if you're right there, 1 John 1:4, let me turn to it here. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Now, he's writing these things, see? So if you want joy, it all goes to come back to the book. Look at John, 1 John 5:13. It says, then, again, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It all goes to the book. If you want joy, you got to get in the book. If you want assurance, you got to get in the book. You're going to have to read this book. You can be a talk around, go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and just smile and shake people's hand, and all kind of a devil might go through your head, and you do a lot of it, but then you go right back and smile at everybody again the next service. Listen, that's not growth. If you're not getting in the book yourself and reading that book yourself, instead of just sitting and listening to some preacher preach, you're not going to grow. You've got to get in the book. There's a lady one time got on an airplane, and she was going to Cleveland, and she got up there in the plane, you know, and went through a real bad storm. I mean, that plane was being knocked all over the place, dropping down 400 or 500 feet, you know, and then it'd go back up, and they thought they were going to crash. And she was just sitting there, just kind of in a daze, you know, sort of just looking around and thinking, you know. And everybody was watching her, and everybody else was scared to death and crying and screaming. And whenever something happened, I thought sure they were all going to die. And they got through, they got down, landed all right. And several of them come over right to her and said, "I don't understand why you were so calm during all that." Said, "Well, why was you so calm? Tell us, what made you like it?" She said, "Well, I've got two daughters. Said one of them lives in Cleveland, and the other one died many years ago, and she's in heaven. And I was just sitting there wondering which one I was going to go visit today." You know what she had? She had assurance, and she had joy both. So you need both. The next thing is, there's no effective service without assurance. Now, you're not going to serve the Lord if you don't have assurance of your salvation. You might go to church every Sunday, you know, and sit in a pew, but as far as serving the Lord, as far as witnessing the people, putting out tracts, living a separated holy life as you can, you're not going to do it. You're going to have assurance of your salvation. There's no soul winning. If you're not sure, I tell you what, now most people don't know enough of Bible to, in this county right here, they don't know enough of Bible to be able to lead somebody to the Lord. You ought to have the verses marked in your Bible, get you a little New Testament, and go through the thing and mark the verses where you can show somebody where they're lost, where they're going to hell when they die, show them where hell is, what hell is. There's a judgment coming, and you're not going to get by that judgment. And you need to get those verses marked and go out and start telling your neighbors. You know what? You know why you don't? Because you don't care. You might be saved, might go to church every Sunday, but you don't care. You ought to care about people that that's sick. And I mean, I know a lot of Christians that when somebody's sick in a church, they'll get together and they'll take some food over there to the house, or when somebody dies or something, they'll take some food over there to the house. Their neighbors, they'll take some food over there to the neighbor's house, but they never tell them anything about the Lord. You know why? They don't have any assurance. They don't have any joy. You need both. If you do you care? I mean, do you really care whether your next door neighbor's going to die and go to hell or not? And you're saved and you're going to heaven? Well, who are you waiting on? You waiting for the devil's cry to come tell them? Ain't going to do it. There's two classes of people in this world. Saved people and lost people. That's all. One or the other. Some of you preachers out there, you know what you do? You stand around, you know, and you get up your middle message, you know, and then you preach it every Sunday. And you draw your check, and everything's just fine. And people all around you dying, going to hell. You never go out visiting. You never go try to win nobody to the Lord. You never pray. I mean, you may get down and say, "Oh Lord, pray for so and so and so and so and so and so. Take care of my family and take care of so and so. You know, that's sick. I pray that you'd help him. You know, and help her. You know, and heal her up, Lord." But then you don't, I'm talking about a fervent prayer. Really believing that God's going to do something whenever you pray and ask the Lord to save somebody or whatever. Now, here's some reasons for doubting. One of them is not being able to remember the exact time. Now, I don't remember the exact time that I got saved, but I can look back in my mind. And you ought to be able to where you see a time when if you knew you was a lost sinner and you was going to hell, and then you turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior by walking forward and trusting His Son, or they may have took the Bible and showed you. That's good. That's what they should have done. Nobody took the Bible and showed me anything. But you need to be shown in the Bible what salvation is, and then you ask the Lord to save you. Already, I know I was 10 years old. I mean, I just look back. I couldn't remember how old I was at the time. The only reason I remember because I asked Mother to look on the records there at the church, and she told me when it was. Now, I got saved. I didn't get baptized until later, and that's when the name went on the roll of the church, you know, when they put it on there. When I joined the church, they think it being baptized into that local church, I don't believe that. I believe you get baptized, you're in the water. That's what you're in. It's just a picture. You join a church. You don't get baptized into a church. You join a church. You get baptized into the body of Christ whenever you get saved. That's what you do. But anyway, as an illustration about a man went forward one time when he was about 16, got a feeling, got saved, you know, got a good feeling, went, got backslid, went forward again at 25, and had another experience, and And then he got to where he wasn't sure when he got saved. He's asked, what was he trusting in? He said, well, I'm trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ to get me to heaven right then. That'll do it. If you're saved, that'll do it right there. You can't trust a feeling. The devil can give you a feeling. Did you know that? The devil can fool you and give you a feeling. All thing is true on this world, in this earth today is right here in this book. This book right here, this authorized King James Bible. God didn't say, this excellent memory have I given you, or this feeling have I given you. He said, 1 John 5:11 says, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. You see that? It's in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Saved and lost. Everybody's in the same, either one boat or the other. These things have I written in you that you believe on the name. See right there, you know what believing is? That's how you get the Son. You believe. These things are written in you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You draw your line in your Bible there from he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son. Look, he that hath the Son, draw that Son right there up there to that believing. That'll show you what it takes to get saved. And then for the lost person, it says that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's the way you get the Son. Listen, you're saved if you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're sure if you believe what God said. You have the right feeling if you do what God tells you to do. No servant, no living for the Lord, no feelings. No believing what God said, no assurance. No trust in Jesus Christ, no safety. You're lost. Another reason for doubting is not having the same experience as somebody else. A lady went forward one time in a service, you know, and she was crying and bawling and going on, you know, and she got saved. And the quicker she got saved, she jumped up and started shouting and running around the church and everything, praising the Lord, you know. And then that preacher got up there and said, boy, Miss Jones really got saved today. Really got it. Little boy sat back there in the congregation. I thought, well, I must not be saved. That didn't happen to me. So you see how you can do? You can mess up people if you ain't careful. You stand in the pulpit and talking like that. You get a man to doubt his salvation when he's saved, or a boy. They ain't really to it. You either is or you ain't saved, one or the other. Just because you don't have the same feeling as somebody else, or just because you don't run around hollering and shout and cut flips, don't mean nothing. It's what gets in your heart whenever you ask the Lord to save you. That's all it is. Some people are just more emotional than other people. Usually when a person is saved late in life, he can see more of his sins and has more effect on him than a young person getting saved. Here's a poem about feelings. For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings can be deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. I'll trust in God's unchanging Word till soul and body sever. For though all the earth shall pass away, His Word abides forever. You know where he got that? Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. We know we're saved by the written word. No other book in the world can boast of 33 prophecies being fulfilled in the life and death of one man. You pick up the Koran, Book of Mormon, the Jews' Talmud, the Buddhist, the Sutras, and all the other junk, you know, the religious junk in this world. None of them has any prophecies in it that's come to pass. There's prophecy in Genesis, Exodus, Psalms, Isaiah, Daniel, Amos, Zechariah, that were literally fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that ain't all. He's coming back, and there's going to be about 500 more going to be fulfilled. That's prophecies in the Old Testament. Now, I'm going to give you some verses on assurance of salvation. And I'm just going to go through here and talk to you, just read them just a little bit, and maybe make just a little comment on them. But you take what the book says. John 1:12 says, "Many have received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Have you received Jesus Christ? Then you're a son of God if you have. If you hadn't received Jesus Christ, you're not a son of God. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You're either saved, or the wrath of God's on you right now. The wrath of God. That's where you go to hell when you die, because the wrath of God's on you. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." On the Son. It's like, I believe this chair I'm sitting on is going to hold me up. I got my feet off the floor and I'm just sitting on it. I believed it. I looked at it. I believed it. And then I got on it and sat down. That's all you had to do. Go. Ask the Lord. You don't have to go to church to do this. Go get your Bible down, turn to Romans 10:9-13, read that through there, and then at the end of it, you ask the Lord to save you, sincerely trusting in what he did for you. I guarantee you're going to get saved. Acts 16:31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And thou hast. Believing, that's trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you say it, it says now in Romans 8:38-39, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That pretty well takes care of everything, don't it? Either you is or you ain't saved, one or the other. Romans 10:9-13, "That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead." Everybody believes it, just about everybody believes it, that it's a historical fact. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day. But you got to get it from your heart, from your head to your heart. Verse 12 says, "No difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When you get down and ask the Lord to save you, look at, after you do that, you look at verse 14. It says, How shall they call on him in whom they believed? Before you ever got down to ask the Lord to save you, he saved you. That's what it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So, do you believe what God said in his book? I mean, he wrote the things down here. Do you believe them? "These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Do you know? You ought to know. Get in the book. If you don't know you're saved, how do you know you're saved to start with? You ought to be able to look back at time in your life and see that you was a lost sinner, and that you was going to hell and you received Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Father, I pray that you bless your word. I pray, Father, it wouldn't return void, but it would establish that which you please. I pray, Father, for every person out there, Lord, that's maybe not right with thee or not serving thee like they should. I pray, Father, that you deal with them. I pray that you show them and help them, Lord, to get back in your book and live for thee and serve thee, Lord, in these last days. He is not saved. I pray the Holy Spirit of God convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And I pray that you get saved before it's too late. And I thank you for all your many blessings, for your love and grace and mercy. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's Brother Lester Roloff singing.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from thy throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through tests of time. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in, for he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sins. Like a dove and hunted frightened, as a wounded fawn was I. Broken-hearted, yet he healed me. He will heed the sinner's cry. He, the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all.